Hey, everybody, just a quick word before we start this week's episode. Crackle Fest number 3 is coming to Seattle March 1st at the Hard Rock Cafe there in downtown. It's going to be a good one, and it's going to be hosted by yours truly, me, again. I had a great time last year. It was so much fun. Had a lot of fun getting up there on stage and telling you guys some jokes. Great lineup this year. Pollen Storm, the Double Clicks, Nerds with Guitars, and of course, Kirby Crackle. So get your tickets quick. They're going to go fast at TicketWeb or KirbyCrackle.com. Well, hello and welcome, everyone.
Oh, hey.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast.
Ryan, crank up the heat!
This is episode 135.
We're going to get this place hot and clammy.
In what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series.
I'm not joking around here.
I am your host, Aaron Roden.
Whoa, ass ahoy.
And this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom, indeed. We've got a great show planned for you today. Oh, man. Very, very funny comedian and former host of the TV show Bunk on IFC. Kurt Brownoler is going to be joining us here shortly. I had the pleasure of speaking with him right before he started recording his first album, his first comedy album for the label Kill Rockstars, which is going to be the first comedy album that Kill Rockstars has ever done. So that's pretty cool. Pretty cool, right? Anyway, thanks for joining us this week. I hope you guys had a fantastic Valentine's Day, if you celebrate such nonsense. Okay, I shouldn't have said that. I mean, some people, you know, some people like Valentine's Day, and to each their own, right? Just because I don't like holidays like that, you know, most people would consider, well, not most people, but some people would consider Valentine's Day being a holiday, like a Hallmark holiday, right? Hallmark card holiday. And that's how both my wife and I look at it. We had, you know, we do some dinner. We cooked a nice dinner. That's about it. Got in a fight. That's, you know, I mean, come on. What else are you going to do on Valentine's Day? Doesn't mean your problems go away just because it's a frickin' holiday, people. All right, whatever. Well, I hope yours was good. Mine was okay, except for the whole fight thing. I'm not going to get into that. Kurt Brownoler. Good dude. Very funny. I had a blast seeing his set. I had never seen him do stand-up before. I've seen little clips and stuff like that. Super impressed. Super duper impressed. I mean, the guy's just total professional. But had the pleasure of seeing Derek Sheen, friend of this show. He's been on a couple times. Recently moved down to LA and came back up to Seattle for, I don't know, a couple weeks or so to do his opening spot for Kurt. And man, he's just a great stand-up. So if you guys get the chance to see Derek Sheen anytime soon, whether it be in LA, Seattle, Portland, wherever he may be, don't miss it, man. It is some good stuff. Good stuff. And he's really coming into his own. Super, super happy for that guy. So something kind of funny happened. I have been, like, you know, we talked about this before, Operation Healthy Aaron, or Make Aaron Healthy. It'd be great if I could just get that right the first time. So I went back on the low-carb thing. I've been doing that for about a week. And drop some poundage. I'm just about to the fighting weight where I can fit back into my suit. It's going to be amazing. Getting ready for Crackle Fest number 3. I got to fit into that suit, fit into my clothes before I do this hosting gig again, right? Got to look good. I look good for you guys at the Hard Rock Cafe. Yeah, so I've been dropping the weight, and so what I've been doing is I've been buying these little two packs of hard boiled eggs. Been eating hard boiled eggs, and meat and cheese and vegetables. And you know, been feeling good, man. I've been feeling really good, dropping the weight. I've got more energy. I feel great. But so Friday, the day of our interview with Kurt Brownaller, I was eating these hard-boiled eggs, and I tweeted something to the effect of eating hard-boiled eggs because I want my breath to make a lasting first impression on Mr. Brownaller. Well, he favorited that tweet, and later that night, after the interview was over, he got up and he took out these two hard-boiled eggs, and he started smashing the shell and getting these things ready and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, I just ate two of those earlier today, you know, kind of trying to call back my tweet, you know, that he favorited. Maybe we could make a connection there. Didn't happen. All he said was, yep, they're good for you. And so anyway, I went and I talked to Derek Sheen after that and stuff. Well, anyway, it turns out that those hard-boiled eggs are part of one of Kurt Brownaller's bits. And it's a bit that he entitled Sad Snacks. And so he's making fun of, he had this like hard-boiled egg in his back pocket for like, God, 45 minutes. And he brings this thing out and he brings out a salt shaker and he just starts eating hard-boiled egg and reading tweets of his that nobody favorited or retweeted. Super funny. But after that, I felt like a moron because I had just told him that I was basically eating sad snacks all day long. And then after the show, I went up, congratulated him. It was a great show. And then I was like, yeah, I feel kind of stupid now because, you know, I told you that I ate hard-boiled eggs. And he was like, oh, you were serious? He thought I knew it was a bit. He thought I was playing off. I don't know. I don't know what makes me look more stupid. Anyway. Well, in keeping with the fact that Kill Rock Stars recorded Kurt's first album, we're going to play some music from Kill Rock Stars' label because it's a great label. They've had a lot of great music in the past. Oh, man. I haven't been keeping up with them, their roster as of late. But this is one band that I was very, very fond of in my teenage years. Bikini Kill. Have you heard of them? You have to have. Oh, Bikini Kill. So good. Yeah. So we're going to start out. We're going to feature songs from Bikini Kill this week. Let's go to our first musical break. And then when we come back, we'll be talking with Kurt Brownaller of Bunk and of comedy. That guy. All right. This is the song Rebel Girl by Bikini Kill, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us, everybody. right, welcome back. Joining me here is the very funny Kurt Braunohler. Is it Braunohler or Braunohler?
Brown.
Brown?
Ohler.
Brown
Ohler. Roll off your mouth.
Braunohler.
Yeah, it's nice. It's actually a beautiful name. Everybody gets confused by it and thinks it's ugly, but no, it's really beautiful.
It's kind of like a hot bowl of cream of wheat.
Ew. Ew, that's the last thing that I would think of as beauty. That's disgusting. It's like saying your name sounds like creamed corn.
Right, right. Well, my last name is Roden.
Well.
So I'm a big fan of cream of wheat, obviously. Right?
Oh, yeah. With a name like Roden, it's got to be cream of wheat.
Yeah,
that's a
lumpy,
popular.
Too.
That was a popular advertising campaign for them in the 50s.
Yeah, we get paid every time we say that.
Oh, my, do I have to pay you for saying it now?
No.
Okay,
thank you.
I appreciate
it. Well, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me here. We're actually recording once again from the Columbia City Theater, the wonderful room down
How
here.
Many times have you recorded in the Columbia City Theater? I thought I'd maybe be special.
This is number two.
Well, okay. Well, that's not, it's not this, a crazy amount.
In this very room.
Who's the other?
This band called Yarn Owl.
It's a great name.
Yeah, they were really good, too.
They are. You know what? But I would make a suggestion to them.
What's that?
Owls are over.
Well, they're over,
Change
too.
It.
So
oh, they
check.
Are? They were a specific band for a specific time frame.
Yeah. So, okay. So I recently, well, actually, as of today, I am now following you on Twitter.
Boom.
Yeah. Good job.
Thank you.
By the way. Yeah.
Killing Twitter these days.
And when you got into town today, or I'm guessing that when you got into town, you tweeted something to the effect of, oh, I see that long underwear is still in.
Long johns underneath t-shirts.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it was.
I was so surprised to see that was still a fashion choice.
So
in
I
Seattle.
Immediately took off my long johns.
Were you wearing them?
I was. Yeah. And I was a bit hurt.
You know what? I think if I lived here, I'd wear them too, because it's long john weather here.
It is. It's kind of cold.
When
but
you
live
here,
in New York,
like, you
don't
know,
you?
Well, now I moved. I've been in New York for the past 14 years, so I just recently moved to LA.
Oh, you did?
I did. I entered the beast. I entered the beast.
Can I ask you a question about
mm-hmm.
LA?
Is it difficult to ski on money? No, it's not. It's easy.
Can you jump into a pile of coins in a silo?
No, that never works.
Can you swim in that? No.
But $1,000 bills are very soft.
They feel like satin on your skin. Yeah. Your coat of money.
Yeah.
No, okay. Serious question. What the hell is going on down there? I recently saw a picture of Lil' Kim.
Yeah.
Lil' Kim.
I know Lil.
Yeah. She had some serious...
Her first name is Lil. Did you know that?
Shut up. No.
Kim is her last name. Her parents are Asian. I couldn't even
that was
finish
so,
the bit.
That
I couldn't
was so
finish.
Racist,
it,
sir.
Was it? Kim is an Asian last name.
Yeah, but... I thought... Okay.
Lil is her first name.
See, I inserted the racism.
Oh, you
that.
Did?
I think I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But... I recently saw a picture of her face. I'm not proud of this, but I was watching TMZ.
Uh-huh.
And they had some video clip of her walking down the sidewalk. And she got, like, the Michael Jackson treatment.
Oh, really?
Pretty much. Yeah.
I miss Lil' Kim. I mean, I just miss being able to say Lil all mm-hmm. the time. Specifically, do I know anything about? Are you kidding me? I decided that I was going to name my kid Lil' Kurt. Because but again, his first name would be Lil, his middle name would be Kurt. So we would just call him Lil all the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm just obsessed with saying Lil, you know?
Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but her, I mean, face, very feline-like now.
Really?
Yeah. And, like, nose is all, you know, wacky.
I mean, there's going to become a certain point in our evolution where we just start just start looking like other things. Through surgery and stuff, but we're not there yet. But these outliers, these are like early adopters of crazy stuff that's going to happen
Holy
in
shit.
35 years.
Well, I mean,
and they just seem crazy now, but soon it'll be all the rad.
But
I
it's
mean, all the fad.
It's just so weird because, I mean, so many people are doing it, and it doesn't look good.
No, it looks creepy.
It looks creepy and crazy.
But
right?
imagine this:
so many people do it. And it never looks good.
But imagine if they were just wearing like a silver unitard and a
that
cape.
That would look good.
Because in the future, that's what we're all going to wear. Then all of a sudden, like that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just really ahead of their time.
Kurt,
they're all Picassos.
Kurt Braunohler.
Thank you.
Genius.
Nailed it.
So you're here. You're here. Wait, let's hold on.
Okay.
Let's fuck that.
Let's back up the train.
Yes. So, I mean, do you see that on a regular basis? You live in L.A. now.
No, because I don't leave the part of L.A. that's very similar
to Seattle. I thought
you were
going to say you don't leave your apartment.
I also don't do that either.
Okay.
You can find pockets of normalcy in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Granted and agreed, L.A. is probably 95% filled with horrible people.
Right, right.
But it's a big enough city that that 5% is still like, half a million people of cool people. You just have to find those spots.
So what made you make the move?
I told you. I want to learn how to ski on money. That is the reason anybody moves to L.A. You don't move to L.A. because you're like, I just love being in traffic. No. I mean, honestly, there's so much more. I can do showbiz happens in L.A. more than it happens in New York. That's really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And also everybody, the entire New York City comedy scene has moved. So now.
Really?
The only people who are in New York still are like Eugene Merman, John Benjamin, and Jim Gaffigan.
I just picture Eugene Merman just sitting in a loft by himself.
No, it is.
Sad with a bunch of math books all over the place.
I think it's true because he came out. Eugene and I are very close, and he came out to do Hot Tub, our show in L.A. that we did in New York. And he's like, are you coming back? And I was like, I'm going to be here for a little while. And he's like, oh, maybe I'll come out. And I was like, the king of Brooklyn might move. So I like that I'm announcing it on the radio before he's made his mind up.
you heard it here first. So do you like it? Do you like L.A.? Do you like the change of weather and scenery?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, New York City, in my opinion, and I love Seattle. You guys are great. But New York City is really, in my opinion, the best city in the world, and it's the most interesting and fascinating. So I'll always think of New York as the best place.
Right.
Is L.A. a good place to live? Yes, it's very pleasant.
Uh-huh.
And there's really beautiful things very close by, and the ocean's there, and there's mountains, and you can do all sorts of stuff. And so it's a very pleasant place to live. The only thing that you could complain about are the people or the traffic. And once you figure out how to not interact with people or not have the traffic, it's a pretty pleasant place to live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, is it an easy city to get around, like with transit or something?
No.
No?
Have you ever been to Los Angeles?
I once.
Yeah.
Long time
ago.
That's
funny that you said transit and the word Los Angeles.
Doesn't exist.
No.
It's kind of like Seattle.
It's really bad. I mean, they do have a subway. Like my second day there, I took the subway.
Right, right.
And
there's like five people on it.
Yeah. The thing about the subway is that it's just all like it's very similar to New York City subway,
mm-hmm.
except for it doesn't go anywhere.
Right,
But you remove all the normal people.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's just the crazies. So it's a very fun place to be.
Yeah.
Because everyone's crazy.
A lot of material down there, I guess. Right?
Sure, but all the material will be unrelatable. Be like, do you guys know when like a ghost poop is trying to choke you? Do you guys know like, well, I saw this guy that was happening to him.
I hate oranges. Yeah, I do actually. It's a sickness. So you're here at Columbia City Theater, recording your album.
Yes,
is this first album?
First album.
Nice. Yeah. Are you excited?
I am. I have to dial it back though.
Why?
I have to dial my excitement back a bit, just for performance reasons. I don't want to be too conscious of. That this is a thing, you know?
Right, right.
Like, I want this to be like any other show that I do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like last night I didn't sleep very well because I kept having anxiety dreams about it. And so you really just have to figure out how you're going to like turn that part of your brain off and just go up there and have a good time and do the stuff that you enjoy doing.
Well, and you're doing four shows too, right?
Exactly. So this first show, I can stink it up. Doesn't matter.
This is like the warm-up.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And that's how I've found after interviewing probably many of your friends.
Yeah.
Is kind of that's the normal thing, right? Comedy types do.
Right. People record, I would say, between two and four shows.
Okay.
And the reason I chose four was because I had spoken to a bunch of people and I said, would you do anything differently? And a bunch of them said, I would have done four shows.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because one of those shows you're going to be off, one of those shows the audience is going to be off, And then that gives you two shows to kind of like, oh, this worked better here, this worked better
right,
here,
right.
Mix
you can,
from.
And you can cut and edit.
Exactly, yeah.
Like them all together.
Yeah, mine will just have a laugh track of people screaming the entire time with me just yelling my jokes over it. Yeah, just like... Like thousands of people just screaming laughter, never breaking, never stopping to inhale.
Never stopping it at all. No, then you can auto-tune it, too. You can mess with the pitch.
That'd be great.
Yeah, yeah. Kill Rockstars is probably going to require that. That's in your contract.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's weird about that's the weird thing about the Kill Rockstars contract is that it requires like, auto-tuning.
Does it have auto-tune screaming in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird, like, but I signed it. I said, yeah.
Now, I recently saw you in the Benjamin Gibbard video as well.
Mm-hmm.
He who will not come on this show.
Ben Gibbard won't come on the show?
Well, his publicist is like a firewall of a publicist.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine.
Yeah. I mean, he's popular.
He's very popular.
Very popular.
And new postal service is coming out.
I know.
It's going to be even more popular. Can the guy get more popular? He's going to be more popular. And the kindest man.
Yeah. He seems like he'd be super nice
and a good actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I was like, how did that happen?
Video. Who came up with the idea for the video?
That was Tom Sharpling.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. Tom Sharpling wrote the video, and then asked me to play that part.
Yeah.
Then I improvised a little bit, but that's all Tommy.
And that was down in L.A. too.
We shot that in New York, and that was shot in the president of Atlantic Records office.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's actually like Ben's label.
Oh, that's cool. Right on.
For Death Cab.
Yeah. I met you. We've met before.
Yes.
Yeah. It was at Bumbershoot.
Okay.
I had just finished interviewing Paul Scheer, Jason Manzoukas.
Was I really stoned?
You were so high. You.
No, I did. No. That happened.
Oh,
at
really?
Bumbershoot.
Were you hanging out? You were hanging out with Benson.
I was incapacitated. It was awful.
Yeah.
I had wandered the streets of. I left everyone I was with without saying. I just got up and walked away because I couldn't deal. And then I walked the streets of Seattle just looking for my hotel by recognition only. I don't smoke pot that often, and then this was like too much.
I don't either, and it does. Like if I'm smoking in like a group of people,
I
get very paranoid.
Oh my god! I just call people from 10 years ago and apologize for things they don't remember.
Shut up!
I've definitely wanted to do that.
You wanted to?
It's been like, oh man, I shouldn't have said barbecue sauce then. They probably thought I was such a jerk.
Oh, that time in sixth grade when I pushed that kid down in the park. Oh, fuck.
No, I mean, I used to smoke pot all the time, and then I just hit a certain, I think it was like around turning 30.
Yeah.
That I was just like, oh, this can either go real dark or super great, and I never know which it's going to be. So I just kind of stopped.
Do you ever do anything harder than that?
Are we just going to get into drug talk?
Why not?
Isn't this going to be on the radio?
No.
Oh, this is a podcast.
This is a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Do you want to leave?
I've done tons of drugs. I love drugs.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. We're not going to get into details.
Though. No
details. I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, they're all fun.
Shoot, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoot, that's too bad. I imagine at some point my mom's going to figure out the podcast exists.
How to listen to all of your interviews.
She's going to figure it out, and then I'm going to have a lot of explaining to do. And that's the only reason I'm not talking about it.
I get that. I'm confident that my parents will never figure out how to do this, how to listen. So that's why I get away with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I lost my train of thought.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You started thinking about my mom.
I was.
Yeah.
I was thinking about your mother and how tall she must be.
She's very short.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Is her
I'm the
name
tallest
Lil?
Of everybody.
Is her
no.
name Lil?
I'm the tallest of my whole family.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
What's like your origins?
German.
German?
But
well, I guess brown.
But
older.
I also am, I found out recently that I am actually related to Abraham Lincoln. He's like a sixth cousin.
So did you cry at the movie then, or
I didn't even see it because I was like, no way, too soon.
That's a bit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Okay.
I didn't. Yeah, no, because my mom had always said that I was related to Abraham Lincoln, and then everybody always thinks they're related to somebody famous, you know?
Right, right.
And then her current husband is really into genealogy, and he went and did the whole thing, and it's actually true.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Man, maybe you could get some, like, residuals.
Oh, did you hear this weird thing about Lincoln? That George Wilkes Booth's brother, who was in the play that was being performed when John Wilkes Booth shot Lincoln,
yeah,
that brother later on, like years later, rescued a man from being hit by a train, and that man was fucking Lincoln's son.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, I got this from Paul F. Tompkins secondhand, so maybe it's not true. But he seemed really convinced that it was true. So I take him on his word.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
I think so.
That's like, what would you call that?
Coincidence?
Karma?
Fate?
Fate? Karma fate?
Yeah. Or just coincidence if you're, if you think the universe is meaningless.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. Now you, you almost became a priest. Did I hear that right?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, like I wanted to when I was a kid. I didn't almost become a priest. Okay. That would be pushing it.
Yeah.
I like, you know, when you're being raised Catholic, I think most kids think about, no, that's a job. You think of a priest as a, like, that's a job I could have.
Girls are weird. I could do that.
Yeah, I could be a girl.
What, so did you grow, you grew up pretty religious then, huh?
Yeah, pretty Catholic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. My dad was never religious, but my mom, and she, my mom raised me, and so she's still religious. But I'm not like, she's not like overly so.
Yeah.
Like it's always there, and she goes to church, and she was like active in the church, but it was never a thing.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like Catholic school is weird, you know.
You went to Catholic school?
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you grow up?
New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean... I actually liked my Catholic school. Uh-huh. You know, I enjoyed, I don't enjoy the Catholic Church from a, like the papal thing, the whole Pope thing, mm-hmm. and the whole like giving the rules and the hierarchy system, I think is flawed and bad.
Were you surprised that the Pope recently resigned, basically?
I wonder why he did. I mean, like, no Pope has resigned since 200.
Yeah.
That was the last time a Pope resigned. So I have no idea what's going on. Maybe he just wants a vacay.
Yeah.
He probably just wants a vacay.
Right. Plus he's like 80, what, 84, 85?
I know. It's just like, it must be awful to be the Pope. Really? Right. Honestly.
Right. I mean, look at the last Pope. He could bear, I mean, you couldn't even understand what he was saying.
Yeah. Maybe you know, he's just like, I saw a funny tweet the other day. I'm not going to say someone else's tweet on the air. Anyway. but yeah, no, I have no idea why he resigned. Like, I don't think he resigned because he was being controversial.
No, no.
No, I think he was just like, wondering, I'm old.
Yeah, yeah, totally. That's
what I
thought,
die.
Too.
Let me die.
Yeah, let me die not here.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's either it's one of two things. It's that, or he was like, you know what? I don't believe this anymore.
No, I don't think
so.
Okay. No, because he was so right-wing about everything. He kept coming out.
He was, right?
He could have been, he could have dialed it back a bit and improved everyone's feelings about the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
He could have dialed it back just a little bit, but nope.
Yeah.
It's like, cover up child molestation. Don't let the gays do anything. Don't let women become priests. You know, it's just like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Sorry that he's sick. I'm so sorry that he's sick.
Yeah.
But go fuck yourself.
Cover your own ass.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
So I take it you have left the religion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I left the religion, I think, before high school was out.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was it more of like a I'm getting bored with this kind of thing?
No, not at all. It was definitely the inherent the fact that like the Catholic Church, and I think most churches, are no longer Christian. Uh-huh. I don't think they're Christian anymore.
Yeah.
If by Christian meaning following the teachings of Christ.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah,
which
totally.
Is the name of it. And so most of them, all of them, they're just make-believe.
Mm-hmm.
Make-believe around a guy who is probably right on about a lot of stuff.
Yeah. They're control hubs.
Yeah, it's just way to... Basically. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And also it's like, but I don't understand how Christianity got linked up with all this right-wing shit. Because, like, Jesus was a left-wing radical hippie dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He was like, give to Rome what is Rome, but give to God what is God. Like, that's a crazy thing to say, you know? Like, that's pretty much, like, socialist. Like, whatever, go fuck. Rome can go fuck itself. Governments are not important. And now it's just, like, Christianity is so right-wing and homophobic and violent. It's very upsetting.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and the thing is, that's the system. Everyone I knew growing up was a very warm and good person who would, like, actually do stuff. Like, Christians do a lot of stuff for people.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like they, you know, charity work is still like a big idea, and it's not always, it's not always about proselytizing either.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish that all that would go away and just the good stuff would stay.
Yeah. It would definitely be a different world. That's for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I'm Mormon.
That's why.
Imagine this was me selling Mormonism the whole time.
Can I tell you about my friend John Smith? Have you heard this story? He found a hat.
I mean, if you think about it, like in 100 years, Scientologists will be Mormons. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because
then
their religion will be around as long as Mormonism has been around.
There's a question. Are there a lot of Scientology churches in L.A.?
Oh, yeah. They're everywhere.
Everywhere?
They are everywhere. And it's fascinating. I think I start to understand it, why they chose LA as their hub, because like a lot of it preys on people's like weakness and feeling alone and cut off and like they're not good enough, because like LA is all about like you're not good enough, because like
everyone's
doing like showbiz is happening all around you and 99% of the town isn't working.
Well, here's what I think is that the way that religion got big is that one star, I don't know who was the first like super famous dude to like, you know,
I don't know who it was,
take Scientology on as their own.
I think it was in the 50s though.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because that movie came out and like people, yeah, it's been around for a while.
Yeah, it's been around. I mean, no, I think it started in like the 30s or 40s. 50s was when it really got like powerful.
But was it that popular back then though?
No, it was just like, you know, I don't know when L. Ron Hubbard died. But he was still like the dude who would like, he was getting people involved because he was super charismatic. Yeah.
This just shows, I'm going to cut all this out. It's like shows how stupid I am. It's like, hey, let's talk about something I don't know anything about. Yeah. The way I was thinking about it is like, okay, well, you know, you have, if you can get one star like Tom Cruise to start proselytizing for you.
No, I think that that hurts Scientology.
You think so?
I think so. Everybody sees how crazy Tom Cruise is, and they're like, that guy's a Scientologist.
But then all these stars started to go to the church, though, right?
I think that at a certain level, I think at a certain level in Hollywood, a lot of insider deals do happen behind Scientology doors.
Really?
I do think that that happens. I don't think it's not everyone who is successful in Hollywood is a Scientologist, but I think like opportunities are presented to people in that way. And I don't think that that's a crazy conspiracy theory thing to say.
Right.
I think that's pretty much like, oh yeah, no. Yeah, they're all playing the game.
Yeah, yeah. It kind of seems cliquish.
Yeah.
You know?
Like definitely.
I mean, you know, that whole Kabbalah thing.
Yeah.
I just took off my red bracelet yesterday.
Mine fell off, so I get all my wishes.
Is that how it works?
I have no idea.
One red bracelet is equal to 100 pennies thrown in a fountain. Yeah. So two shows tomorrow at Portland.
Portland, Mississippi Studios.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you get nervous still? I mean, you were anxious last night about this, but is that just because it's your album? Or
I'm not nervous about going out there and getting on stage.
Yeah.
I get, like, being out on stage is very comfortable at this point.
Mm-hmm.
The waiting to go is kind of the part that's the annoying part.
That's the anxiety-making part, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then once you're out there, it's like, ah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like an old glove, an old glove of laughter.
Well, I really look forward to seeing you do your thing tonight, man. Thank you so much for taking some time out of
your
evening and speaking with me. Do we have a release date on the album?
It'll be a summer album. Hopefully May or June, I would hope.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And it's going to be on Kill Rock Stars, which is awesome.
Their first comedy album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And any other shows coming up?
I'm going to be in Toronto, and then every Monday I'm in LA at my show Hot Tub at the Virgil.
Excellent. And that's with Kristen Shaw?
Yep.
Right? Excellent. Excellent, man. Well, hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Do people say break a leg?
Sure.
Anymore?
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Break a leg, Kirk.
Thank you. I will.
All right.
Bye.
All right, welcome back. That was our conversation with the very funny, very intelligent, and hard-boiled egg-worthy Kurt Brownoler. I hope you guys enjoyed it. A little bit of a shorter episode this week, but we do have a couple things to tell you about. Coming up in Seattle, let's see. Let me pull this up here real quick. I wanted to tell you guys about this. Eddie Pepitone is coming back to town February 20th, 9 p.m. at Laugh Hole. They're at Chop Suey on Capitol Hill. Wow. Wow, dude. Capitol Hill here in beautiful Seattle. I'm going to be there. I hope you guys can, too. It's $10. This is a 21 and over show, so sorry about that to all you underagers. But this guy, we've had Eddie on the show a while ago, and he was awesome. And we're trying to hook up another meet and greet with him this round as well, because I'd just love to talk to that guy again. God, just a great person, very funny, and he laughed at my jokes. So that's a huge plus for me. That's a huge plus for me. February 20th, 9 p.m., $10. 21 and plus. You can go to the People's Republic of Comedy, spelt with a K, .com. People's Republic of Comedy.com. Comedy spelt with a K. And you can buy tickets from there, or I believe you can just go to like TicketWeb or something like that and get tickets for that. Now, he's coming back. He's here. He's here in Seattle, February 20th. That's Wednesday this week. Then he goes down to, I believe, maybe Portland or something. And then he comes back Saturday, February 23rd, for a screening of his documentary, The Bitter Buddha. Now, I've not seen this yet. However, I have seen a bunch of reviews on it, and it sounds amazing. So, yeah, go to peoplesrepublicofcomedy.com and get tickets to that as well, because Eddie's going to be there. I imagine he's going to do like a question and answer thing or whatever. But, yeah, hope to see you guys at Laughful this week, Wednesday. All right, it's going to be great. You can go and check out Kurt Brownoller's website at kurtbrownoller.tumblr.com. He's got all of his upcoming dates on there. A lot in L.A. with Kristen Schaal for that show he was talking about, Hot Tub. And then he's going on, he's going doing a sketch fest in Toronto. So sounds pretty awesome. Go to his website. Once again, kurtbrownholer.com or .tumblr.com, and check that out. And of course, you can check out all of the past episodes of the Air Raid podcast. That's right. It's a plug. The end of the show is plug heavy this week. Oh, man. The Air Raid podcast. Check us out, air-raid.net. If this is the first time that you've listened to us, we've done a lot of great shows with people like Bob Saget, Eddie Pepitone, Dana Gould, Kurt Brownoller, which you just heard. A lot of great bands, Grand Archives, members of Band of Horses. We've had Sarah Cahoon on here. And we're working on some great stuff coming up, too. Oh, we've had Macklemore. Macklemore. He's going to be on Saturday Night Live this week. Can you believe that shit? That's crazy, man. That's crazy. Once upon a time, he was on the Air Raid podcast. Double platinum, too, man. That's just nuts. That is just nuts. Okay, a lot of great stuff coming up for next week, too. We've got an amazing interview with the band Red Fang. Red Fang was one of those guests that I was super nervous to interview. They came here to Dining Room Studios just this weekend and hung out for a long time. A lot of just cool dudes. This was the one show that I have been wanting to happen for like 3 years. So it was awesome. And that you can hear that next week, episode 136. That'll be up next weekend. And I promise it won't be late. It will not be late. My fingers are crossed. All right. We're going to go out today with the song Strawberry Julius by the band Bikini Kill off of Kill Rockstar's records. Great stuff, right? Hope you guys enjoyed the show. And please go to iTunes, rate and review the show. Only take you a couple seconds. Tell your friends about us. You know, insert us into everyday conversation. That would be wonderful. And yeah, that's about it. Watch out for meteors. Man. Man. All right, guys. Oh, okay. We'll be back next week with the band Red Fang. Until then, have a good one, everybody. This is Bikini Kill, Strawberry Julius. See you next week.